Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We give you praise this evening. Thank you for your word. Thank you. Because we have understanding of your word, we give you praise. We honor you now and always. We appreciate you now and always. We give you praise. Thank you, Father. Please help me in Jesus' name. I declare that I have illumination. I have revelation. I have understanding. The word of God is clear to me now. Amen. All right, please be seated. So just go straight to Mark 4. And then when I started the teaching on the first things, the first principles, first things. When that began, I said last week that there were actually four major areas I'd looked forward to us covering, but we're still on number one. So let's just finish it today. Is that all right? This is our fourth week on the first point. But I'd want you to please get back home and digest this. Get all the teachings on this. For whatever reason that the Lord allowed us to spend this much time on that first point, I believe that somebody needed it. I believe that somebody needed it. Because the thing is this, it's not enough to say, this is what the Bible said. It's not enough to say, I know what the Bible said. It's not enough. It's not enough. We have to go further than that. We have to bear fruit. Now, we might have different understandings to that point, different meanings and all of that. But guys, I believe without any excuse that the Word of God has to produce. I believe it. However I want to explain it, I believe the Word of God has to produce. And we've been able to look at the core for the last 3 weeks, and that's the fact that the heart of man is the heart of the matter. Once the heart is set, once the heart is right, the whole matter is clear, the whole matter is sorted. So with whatever time I feel we need to allot to that this evening, then we'll look into it. So Mark chapter 4, from the 11th verse of Mark chapter 4. Mark 4 from 11. Mark 4, 11. And he said unto them, unto you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are outside, without, people outside our circle, all things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should be converted and their sins should be what? Forgiven them. This we have found in Matthew. This we have found in Proverbs chapter 4. That there are gates to the heart of man, and we have the ear and the eyes. All right, we have the ears and the eyes that lead to the heart. So once you ensure that your eyes, your ears, and your heart, once you ensure that they are filled with the word of God, you will bear fruit. And that's what Jesus is saying here, and that's what he will continue to explain. So please stay with this. That seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted. All right, Matthew added art somewhere there. Lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven. Matthew said converted, and then I will heal them. So we find out that you have to see the word, you have to hear the word, you have to understand the word, and it leads to what Romans chapter 12 calls a transformation. And then when the transformation takes place, you will not experience what the world is experiencing. You will be sustained. Please understand this. You will be sustained solely by the word of God. Completely, practically, solely by God's word. Do you understand what I'm saying? So let's just keep reading. All right, 13 now. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? How will you know all parables? The sower soweth what? The sower soweth what? The sower soweth what? The word, all right. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard the word, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that is sown where? Please understand that. Let's read it again. One, two, go. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard it, what happens? Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that is sown where? Where is the word sown? Where is the word sown? Where is the word sown? I know it sounds like nursery rhyme, just bear with me. Where is the word sown? Where is the word sown? Where is the word sown? Let's move on, please. And these are they, so that was the first category, those that fell on the wayside. These are they likewise that are sown where? Stony ground. Who, when they heard the word, they received it how? Jumped, screamed, shouted, danced in the service, you know, rejoiced, woo, wah, wee, wah, wah, you know, had to give high five to like 55 people, you know, hugged everybody on their way out. They were excited. All right. They received the word with gladness. Watch this. And having no what? Root where? Take note. Root where? Underline themselves. Where is the word sown? So where is the root supposed to be? So take note of that, please. You'd love this. The word is sown where? So the root is supposed to be where? So having no root in themselves, and so they endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises, why? Please look up in case you're not looking, or look down in case you're looking. You have two options, up or down. Up will be the screen, down will be your Bibles. Up, yeah, so you see what all of us are doing, but down most times is better for you, so you can underline or write something. Is that okay now? All right, but much more than writing is catching the spirit of what is said. All right, catch what is being communicated. Having no root in themselves, and so they endure but for a time, and afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for... you know, many times you find believers saying, why am I going through all of this? That's the reason why you're going through all of that. Why is this happening to me? This is why it is happening to you. Why is it not working as fast as I thought it should work? This is why it's not working as fast as you want it to work. Because the affliction is arising because of the word that you have received. And that's now the wrong time to give up. So you find many believers giving up because things got tough. Things will be tough to prove the word. Are you still here, please? Things will be tough to prove the word. Affliction will arise for the sake of the word. Listen, once the enemy can alter the word you receive, he just altered your faith. Because that's what you're grabbing onto, laying hold of to receive. That's your hope. Hope precedes faith. Faith precedes hope. Depends on how you're looking at it. Many times I have to hope for something, desire something, want something, but we know hope is future tense, right? I'm going to get it. So faith takes it away from there, and faith lays hold on it and says, I have it now. That faith now produces hope. Because when I say I have it now, do I get it? So what happens to me? I wait for it. What's that? Hope. So Bible says, hope naked, not ashamed. Because you wait, hoping, expecting, earnestly, anticipating. So there's a biblical faith that still comes after, biblical hope that still comes after the application of your faith. Hope basically means expectation. So now my expectation is based on what I believe I have received. So I'm expectant. I'm waiting eagerly, seriously. I'm hungry for this thing. I'm looking forward to this thing. I'm not going to get no for an answer. Even when it looks like it's not working, even when it seems I'm being disappointed, even when it thinks like things are shaking, I'm steady. Having no root in themselves, affliction arise for the sake of the world. Immediately they become what? Why is this happening? Why is God allowing it? Offense. Offense there, you need to be careful. The word offense there doesn't mean angry. Now, John the Baptist was one that told us that Jesus is coming behind him, right? So Jesus comes. And John points out and says, behold the Lamb of God that does what? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. After a while, John ends up in prison. And then John sends people to go and ask Jesus, are you the one coming? Or should I expect somebody else? And Jesus said, tell John what's happening in the city. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And Jesus ended by saying, blessed is he that is not offended. So it's not necessarily anger, bitterness. No, sometimes even doubt. Doubt could get you offended. Huh? And when you get offended, you get off the end. Hope you get that joke. Alright, means you're going down. You fall. Off end. That's not in English, alright? Listen, when you're offended, you are likely not going to receive. Because something is out to contaminate your seed. Offense. And offense here is not offense with people. It's not I fought somebody. Now that one also has a fast way of hurting your seed. But that's not what is discussed in context here. It's talking about affliction arising because of the word, and then you become offended. Why is it not working? You're offended. You're offended at the word. You're offended at the process. Why haven't I received it by now? Hey, but pastor, I was only asking a question. That was the thing John the Baptist too did. He was only asking Jesus a question. Are you the one? Was it not just a question? But he just said that's offense. Offense is climbing somewhere. Anybody getting this thing? Or what did John ask? Was it not just a question? But was it not the same John that was convinced before? So for him to move away from being convinced to now doubting, offense, offense. So the same way, I'm healed, I'm prosperous, I'm blessed, I'm healed. Ah, this thing itself, is it working? Offense. That your question is an offense. It's proof of offense. Something's happening, doubt is entering. You're questioning the ability of the word to produce. You're offended. You're offended. You're offended. You're offended. You are not, watch this now, you are not understanding the fact that the challenge you are going through is simply happening because of the word. So you are giving up on the word, now questioning the ability of the word. Anybody gets this now? Alright, let's move. These are they that are sown among thorns, such as what? Hear the word. So they are hearing the word again. And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering. Where did it enter? In where? And then it choked what? Where was the word? And then they became what? Tell you about all we're discussing here right now is fruit. I need some fruit. Tell somebody, I need some fruit. Let's say like some of those preachers say, look at your neighbor and say, baby, I need some fruit. Oh dear Lord. Alright, forgive me. That's how we used to play some years back. You know, I have some friends that love to do that. Say, tell your neighbor, say, baby, I need some fruit. Listen. The reason why the sower soweth was because he was looking for fruit. Leave the grammar, leave the guy fruit. Give me fruit. Eh? You remember Matthew? The tree is known how? Fruit now. Give me fruit. All your talk on divine health should at the end of it produce fruit. All the talk on I'm healed, it's fruit. Give me fruit. Alright? But like I said last week, nobody set you as a judge over somebody else. Maybe someday I'll be able to do a teaching on that. I think I was telling my wife, maybe yesterday,
It's almost easy for almost every believer to almost become a judge.
Alright? Very easy. Very easy for you to take note of the speck in someone else's eye and forgetting the fact that it's a very big fat log in your eye. Just easy. Just very easy. When you spend time working on yourself, spend time minding your cup of tea, spend time building your faith, spend time guarding your heart, you might really not have too much time for the other person. If for any reason you have time for the other person, it will be out of the love of Christ that is within you, not out of judgment, criticism, or analysis. If every believer fed themselves, their spirits, the way we should, almost all of us would not be where we are. So stop paying attention to the other person's business. Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so you fulfill the law of Christ. It's not mind one another's business. When it comes to business, mind your own. But if it's burden, help the other person out. Tell them about work on yourself. Alright? Or whose tree are you supposed to be working on? Focus on your life. Work on your tree. You know, sometimes the best way to explain what you're saying to somebody is by progressing. You hear that? Make progress. What do I mean by that? By progress, I don't necessarily mean prosperity. You know, there's this crab system. When a crab is trying to come out of a bucket, other crabs try to get on top of that crab, so eventually no crab comes out of the bucket. Alright? So sometimes you need to be the crab that found the way out of the bucket. Then you can explain how you got to where you are. But sometimes you are still trying to find your left foot different from your right foot, and then you're trying to be the preacher that knows everything to tell everybody else. Anybody getting what I'm saying? You're still trying to find your left from right. Now, I could look at someone and say, how could he miss God's plans for his life like that? Question, am I even sure self that I just got right the last thing God told me to? I don't know if anybody gets that. Are you sure you're getting me, please? Get busy following God's plan for your own life. Be an example. That's what I mean by progress. Be an example. Let the person want to ask you, sorry, how are you doing this thing? How are you finding the next plan? How are you doing it? How are you doing it? How? I've had a few people tell me, you know, like maybe 5 years ago, maybe more, you know, and I think was it about 3 years? Does it work that time? I think maybe 4 years now. That said we should do one pastor's meeting somewhere up here. Like 4 years now. Four there about. About 2 years before that, people said, pastor has gathered pastors in the city. You know, and I'm like, it's... Whoever wants to learn what I know, what would the person do? Ask me. I don't have to have a conference to be asked. Are you? Ask me. Simple. You know? And most of the people that gathered at some of those meetings were people that asked me. I said, okay, maybe we could meet. Maybe we could meet. And in us meeting, we met, you know, we had a discussion there, and they're like, this is not gathering. I'm not looking for a spiritual son. I'm still sonning myself. I'm fathering myself. I'm not looking for that, if you understand my joke. Anyway, so I'm not looking for that, but it's just an opportunity to share certain things, and it's not compulsory, and we mustn't add to this group. And we didn't. We're just about 11, maybe. If the women come, we could be more. And that was the end. And after a while again, I told them, guys, we had one meeting, I told them, I feel this is the last meeting we're going to have. They said, Pastor, I said, most important thing is this. A lot has been shared for over a year that if all of us use it, we should have results now. So if you have further questions, what should you do? Ask me. I don't know if you understand that. It's not they're not learning. No, the proof, if they want to learn, they will ask. But who should they ask? The person trying to still learn? You to face your work. Let it keep growing. The more it grows, if they feel there's a need to ask, then they ask. But when I'm trying to look for two members, I want to share something with you. If you didn't ask me, I won't tell you anything. Last week I told you how that I went to a friend's church and they were like 15 at that meeting. We were still maybe like, you know, less than 10 in attendance. And I told them, what I'm teaching you guys is something that is going to work for us because I'm already putting it to work. That was because my friend asked me to come and teach them something. I didn't start printing flyer and handbill and walking from church to church. I have 15 principles that can help you people's church. No, physician, heal thyself. Alright? Let it work in your church. It has worked. Still working. And what I've taught you in the last 3 services now are things I can beat my physical and spiritual chest, if I can find it. You know, I can beat my chest on to say, if you will do what I said. Because what I said is basic scripture. Just Bible. If you do this thing, I can tell you in 6 months. I might not be able to tell you about 6 weeks, maybe 2 months, no. I'll tell you 6 months, you will see the difference. But Pastor, 6 months is far. No. When was the last 6 months? Happy New Year now. January, right? That was 6 months. So I'm saying another 6 months. You will see the difference. The issue is what we're learning. So this guy received the word. This is the one that was sown amongst thorny ground, right? Amongst thorns. He says, the cares of this world. I'm 48. I've not found a husband. Cares of this world. How'll I pay the bill? Have you ever found yourself worry away? Anybody? I'm finding what's happening. 30 minutes are gone. 1 hour are gone. 3 hours are gone. Anybody? Alright, you worried away. Anybody worried so much you couldn't eat? Anybody? Yes, the answer will be yes. You couldn't eat. Have you been there before? Alright, you couldn't eat. Anybody, you couldn't sleep. Anybody, you now became so tired you now could even now worry again. Anybody like that? Am I seeing, okay, I've seen one finger, I've seen two, I've seen three, four. You got so tired to worry self was worrying you. Question. What was the part of your system that you used to worry? Your mind. What is the part of your system that you're going to use to meditate? It's your mind. So there's a competition for your ground. Please understand this thing. There's a serious competition for your ground. While you are busy trying to sow seeds of God's word on that same ground, seeds of worry, seeds of concern, seeds of care, they are trying to get planted on that same ground. And you are the determinant by who you allow your mind to give access to, because the mind is a doorway to the heart. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing where? Your mind. So thoughts of worry. And then they are coming, then you have to remind yourself, no! Because anybody, have you ever worried before and the worrying was sweetening you? Yes, now. I can see hands. Now, how do I know? I just know. It's sweet, right? Just, I am enjoying it. It's sweet. It's just sweet to worry. In fact, you feel careless, not worrying. You feel irresponsible, not worrying. But that is a trick. Is someone tricking you and is gaining ground in your space? I don't know if you get that. Like you want to park your car, then they now told someone to be gisting with you just before you enter the car park so that another person can park. Who got what I just said? You want to park your car, then they told someone to just delay you, gist with you, chat with you so that while you are busy doing that one, another person has parked. So the worry comes, catches your attention, you know, catches you, and then you're going, how will it happen? And while Allah is going on, he's busy sowing seeds without you knowing. And the same way, listen, the same process that God's word will grow in your heart is the same way the thoughts of the enemy
will grow. Jesus told the parable. He said a man sowed wheat, but when men had slept, an enemy came and he sowed tares. And then the wheat and the tares grew together. In this case, having grown together, what would the tares do? Choke your own. It becomes competitive. He says, and the cares of this world and the lust of other things entering in. Choke, choke, choke. So those thoughts will now gain roots. Because the first stage was sown on stony ground, so they did not have roots. This stage, you now have roots. You have meditated. The word is gaining ground. You are standing. It too says, me too, I gain roots. You have roots. I have roots. What's now going to happen? We're going to compete for space. Anybody will compete for nutrients, will compete for water. Is that what happens in agriculture? You plant and then weeds are there competing with what you planted. Compete for carbon dioxide, right? Compete for everything. Compete for water, for nutrients. They came there to compete till they choke out what you planted. So we are not doing ourselves any bit of good when we worry. And then we come to church, speak in tongues for 8 hours, but we go back to uproot it by worry. And then we say, why is this thing not happening? We go to offense. Why is it not working? Why is it not happening? We go to offense. I told you I've been in this city for how long? 10 years plus. I've not for one day doubted being here. And God has helped us with that. Not once have I doubted being here. Not once. Not once has my wife asked me, why are we here, Seth? Not once. Not once. Have we tried out things that didn't work out? Yes. But we'll do it again. We'll pick ourselves back up and do it again. So. Are you getting something, please? The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. This happens to both those that have the money and those that do not have the money. Have you ever wished that, if only I have the money? You know, you can be there for 6 months. That 6 months, you'd have read 5 books on faith. You'd have listened to like 50 messages on faith. But you're still there for 6 months telling yourself, I wish I have the money. I wish I have the money. I wish I have the money. Stay there. Just stay there. The money never comes like that. Please, if it came to you like that, come and share with us so we know how we two should be going home and shouting. Are you still here? Listen, we're deceived. Sometimes you even get deceived because small money has now started coming. Anybody been there before? You were aggressive with your faith, aggressive. Small money came one time. You were aggressive, small. Small money came second time. Aggressive again. Small money came third time. Just relax and say, our money has started coming. After a few months, you now know what happens again. The money stops coming. You now go back to, what happened to the money? What happened to the money? All the demons in this place. You were deceived. A friend of mine came, in fact, then we're still at the middle floor, maybe third year or so of church. Came there, maybe second, maybe third, and then was at my house. And then we got talking and he said, Pastor X, you have faith though. I said, why? He said, I know how you started, you didn't have anything. So some things people are doing here, we that even have small money from Lagos State, we've not been able to do this. Of course, not like he's senior pastor of a church, but he's saying, you pull this off without money to start with. That means your faith consistently is working itself. I learned something from Bishop Oyedepo. He always gives himself, watch this, a bigger faith project so that he never relaxes. There comes a time where you relax thinking, I have enough. I'm fine. I can rest. You could be deceived to stop dreaming,
stop thinking and stop achieving. He sets a bigger faith project. Bigger faith, just shoots further. Something that keeps him up on his toes again. He refuses to be deceived. Some of you here want to start earning like 450,000 naira per church. I mean per month. Your pastor has come and worship in your house. I don't know if you understand that. You won't go to church again. Church has to come to you. Now you have turned to a big boy on top of 450. 450k on top of that. Church has to worship. They have to come and collect offering at your doorstep. You know, pastor, it's just Sunday morning. I'm just tired. Please send Deacon. Send the Deacon to come and collect the offering in my house. I'm just tired. God bless you. Pastor, did you see the suit I bought for you? Yes, it's nice. It's nice. I have three more. Let that keep your suits to yourself. When that kind of person now earns 4 million per month, what will he do? Even Jesus now has come and be sleeping in his house. Those things are short-sightedness. Eh? You're short-sighted. How much is a nice car? Brand new. Nice is relative, I know. A Japanese car. 8 million. Brand new. It's more than that. Depends on what we're discussing. Like 15. Oh, okay, those ones. Those ones. Okay, maybe those ones. Like a German car. 25, 40, 45. Would you say 45 naira? 45 million for a car. That will build a house. And they will turn you to chief. Yeah? They will give you chieftaincy title for building a house. Yeah? And it's just price for a car. There are cars of 80 million naira. Their car. There are wristwatches of 10 million, 14 million, wristwatch. Whether it has tire and it can swim to heaven, I'm just saying, it's just, now. Hold on. I'm not stirring up covetousness. I'm talking about vision. Get the difference. Hold on, guys. Vision. Many of us might never need any of these things. You might not have a business with them. Alright? Your own 40 million might rather build an orphanage somewhere. Are you getting there? Your own 80 million might rather do some other thing somewhere. So not because you don't have the money to buy these things. In fact, you might have it and keep it. Just because you don't want to wear it. So having the money doesn't also mean spending the money. But my point is, never be short-sighted because of finances, either the presence or absence of it. Don't let the absence of money determine how far you can dream. I've said that like two services now. Never let it. Many of you know how that we organized an event. We needed about 1 million naira. We had 15,000 naira in the church account, and we pulled off a Christmas program in 2011 with 15,000 to start with. But some other person says, oh, because I don't have the money, then I can't dream. No. Money has no business with it, first of all. God usually doesn't check your bank account before he talks to you. Alright, because God is not limited to your bank account. He supplies all your need according. So that's what I'm dealing with, that even people that do not have money can be deceived by riches. You can abandon your faith. You can abandon church because of just some extra money. Now, if God leads you to relocate, get a job, and that's fine. But you don't just throw away your confidence. This is why many Christians compromise. They feel the word is too slow for them. The word is not working for them. So someone now dangles carrot in front of them, just lie here, change his figure here, and then they are willing to do it.